Reach out to the Lord. Would you do that? Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Reach out to the Lord again, would you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for this great move of the Holy Ghost that we feel. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. God, you're just so great, God, so good, so wonderful. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 What a great God we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's do that right now. Just reach out to the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. Great God we serve. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. God, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Another bit of good news. We have already had this year between 65 and 68 new converts, new births, and I really thank the Lord for that. Now, I'm not for sure what the exact figure is, but I know it's at least 65, could be 68. But we're really thrilled about what God is doing. And the two people that received the Holy Ghost today in our very first Sunday afternoon Sunday school at the Truex Community Center. I really thank the Lord for our outreach team that went over there and prayed them through. And this morning, we had a lady receive the Holy Ghost and was baptized. Brother Lehman talked about money. He's got a way with talking about money. Makes you want to give. I just appreciate this man so very much. Brother and Sister Lehman are extremely valuable still to the Foreign Missions Division. They have gone far and wide and raised funds for our missions department. And we are just so very blessed to have both Brother and Sister Lehman in service with us. Let's give him a real warm welcome as he comes.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't the Lord good? All the time. Praise God, praise God. Well, I'm just happy to be here. And, of course, my wife is too. We have never forgotten Wisconsin. We went to, I'll have to be honest with you. When we went to Wisconsin to, or I'm sorry, Wausau, to open up the church, I have to admit, I was a little afraid. I didn't know if I could do it. I had worked as assisting a pastor for several years. But then, I can look back now and feel that Wausau was some of the greatest years of my life. We've never forgotten Wisconsin. And I appreciate your pastors, all that they are doing. And then to see Brother Russell here that we've known a few years. And it's just a joy to be in the house of God tonight. Praise God. I want to just give a couple reports from overseas. We have a couple, really, they left the church that we were in Lancaster, Ohio. They left that church and went to the country of Malawi. Now, they went there on what's called the AIM program. That's a short-term missionary assignment. They went there to help a missionary. They arrived there and found out that that missionary was going home. And so here they are, brand new on the field, and the responsibility fell. It wasn't a new field either. But God has blessed them in amazing ways. And he sent a report back about a man who was a member of another church organization, needed healing in his body. And he had been praying and had no relief. But he was at home, and an announcement came over the radio telling him that if he would go to the United Pentecostal Church, the Lord would heal him. He went, was prayed for, and the Lord healed him. He had this testimony. He said, "My radio has not worked for 2 years. He said, "It wasn't even plugged in." Now, you talk about a modern-day miracle. You know, the announcement came over the radio, wasn't plugged in, hadn't worked for 2 years. Well, it just shows you that God sees a hungry heart. God sees a hungry individual. And then from the country of Kenya, recently some of the Bible school students made contact with a nearby Hindu temple that feeds 500 slum kids every Sunday. They sought and surprisingly got permission to teach the kids each Sunday. Amazingly, now they are teaching 500 children every Sunday the plan of salvation, baptism in Jesus' name, and the oneness of God. Who would ever have believed that? In a Hindu temple. So, you know, apparently those in charge, God just kind of blinded their eyes and didn't let them know what was going on. But God sees the hunger people. God sees those that are hungry for his truth, and it's just a joy to be able to be involved in the work of God around the world. All right, tonight I would like to have you consider, in fact, I'm using a PowerPoint presentation tonight. I just felt to go in this direction as I think it will help you understand, giving a little better. Because that card that you received tonight, either this morning or tonight, is what's called faith promise. Now, faith promise is where you as an individual, you ask the Lord, "Now, Lord, what do you want to channel through me on a monthly basis to support our missionaries that are going around the world?" You may be seated. I may talk longer than I anticipated here. But a number of years ago, wife and I were in a church in Jackson, Tennessee. We were there for a Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night service. But when we walked in the church on Saturday night, there was a big banner across the front of the church that stated this: "Some give by going, some go by giving. Without both, there are no missions." Now, that's what this is all about. We are commissioned, as the pastor's already said, we are commissioned to take this gospel around the world. And look at it this way. If you can't go in person, would you consider going in purse and sending our missionaries? You know, that's really what it's all about. Being a blessing to sending this gospel around the world. And I'm reading tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. And I'm speaking tonight on begging to give. Begging to give. Now, verse 1 reads like this. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, then to us, in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, in other words, he opened the work, to bring also to completion the act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that ye also excel in this grace of giving. Now, Paul was really speaking to the Corinthian church. Now let me just mention one thing about the Corinthian churches. They were not perfect. They had their problems. And all you have to do is read 1 and 2 Corinthians, and they did have their problems. One of their problems was they didn't understand about giving. And so Paul was speaking to the Corinthians that they needed to stir up themselves in their giving. He related that the churches of Macedonia, who were extremely poor, they gave when they were in a most severe trial. Keep the PowerPoint rolling. Go a little farther. Okay, now we're together. Okay, they gave when they were in a most severe trial. The next. Every time there's a star there, keep it moving. Excuse me for giving in. I'm just trying to help all of us here. Okay, then they had overflowing joy. Good. In earnest poverty, in extreme poverty, and had rich generosity. Now, the Macedonians refused to let hard circumstances keep them from giving. Now, Paul was absolutely surprised and said they gave beyond their power. So they gave like rich saints, but they weren't rich. Next one. Now, Paul even tried to discourage them from giving. But the scripture tells us, lets us know that they pleaded to give. Now, that's why I called this message begging to give. That church, they begged to give. Now, it's humbling. It's really humbling to receive gifts from people in far greater need than you are. Now, I've experienced this in mission trips overseas where the poor serve their very best. They serve their very best to the visiting missionary or someone from headquarters. They don't want you to think they are pretending to do something rich, but they are doing it out of love. Now, don't cheat them out of their blessing. They want to do it. Now, then go on to in the book of Exodus, chapter 36, verses 5 through 7. It records that when the tabernacle, keep the PowerPoint going. Go a little more. Okay. All right. Now one more. There we are. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 36, verses 5 through 7, it records that when the tabernacle was being built, that is the tabernacle in the wilderness, was being built, people were so caught up in the excitement that they had to be restrained from giving more. Now, it's there. Read it in Exodus 36. Now, that is what giving will do for you. The more you give, the more you want to give. Now, go to the next slide. Notice that in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and 9 has to say about the people bringing in so much for the building of Solomon's temple. Now, this is a different building. The other was wilderness, and the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now we're talking about Solomon's temple. They said this, "Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." Now in verse 14 of the same chapter, David looked at what he and his people were giving to the Lord. It humbled him, and he said, notice what he said, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." David was simply just so glad that they were able to give. Now, David was simply saying this. He was saying, "Lord, you blessed us with your blessings, and we are giving back to you what you have blessed us with. We are not keeping it to ourselves." Now, I want to relate about a text message that I received 10 days ago from a pastor in Zanesville, Ohio. I had been with them Thanksgiving weekend of, last November, and he had received from one of the saints in his church what God had done for them since their faith promise commitment in November. And here's what it says. "Pastor, we thought that you might like to hear our praise report. We increased our missions faith promise. We increased our missions faith promise offering. By faith, they increased it another $100, which equals out to $1,200 for the year. Now, when they filled out their income tax papers this year, and they've already done it, they said, we received back above what we got back last year, $2,415, more than what they got last year. So God blessed them. They increased their giving $100 a month, more than they did last year, and they filed their income tax and got back $2,400 more than what they got back last year. Now you say, "Oh, Brother Lehman, that just might have been an accident." I don't believe it was an accident. You know, they increased. Now, mind you, I want to increase that. I want to emphasize that, I should say. They increased it $100 a month over last year and got back $2,400 more over last year this year. So God honors giving. I can't emphasize that enough. Almighty God honors giving. Now, Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13, "If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered." You notice what it said. He too will cry out and not be answered. Now, in Isaiah 58:6-10, it tells us this. God says that his willingness to answer our prayers is directly affected by whether we are caring for the hungry, the needy, and the oppressed. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you want to have a greater prayer life? Then give more. Hey, read it. Write it down if you want. When you get home. Isaiah 58:6-10. So if you want to increase your prayer life, get more answers, give more. Now, we were in Humble, Texas in January of this year, and I talked to the pastor this week. The pastor related to me, he said, "Brother Lehman, since that service," he said, "we have had so many miracles happen to individuals that had stepped out by faith and just let God direct them in their giving. And then in turn, he blessed them in many other ways." He told about one man in his early 70s who has suffered the last 7 years with leukemia. And he has had a stem cell replacement. And as a result, in fact, the week following their missions conference, he went back to the doctor. Now, over the past 7 years, the pastor said he is growing worse and worse and worse. He went to the doctor the week following their missions conference, their first mission conference there. And he said, the doctor checked him out and said, sir, you are now free of cancer. Had gone 7 years getting worse and worse and worse. Oh, it's not an accident. When we bring God into our lives like he wants to come, oh, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or even think. Now, money gets our attention, but our money gets the attention of the Lord. Are you with me? Money gets our attention. All you have to do is just talk about money and it excites the kids. They're ready to get all they can get. And even adults are a lot like that. But our giving gets the Lord's attention. Now, in Mark chapter 12, the poor widow steps off the pages of Scripture by giving two small coins. Jesus praised her and said this, out of her poverty, she put in everything. Out of her poverty, she put in everything. Now, the Lord observes all men and all things, and all of our actions are before his eyes, and what we do in public, what we do in public and what we do in private are equally known to him. He observes the state and the situations that we are in. In the temple, when that lady, that widow was coming by and giving her money, his eye was upon the abundance of the rich who had given much, but he was well acquainted with the poverty and the desolate situation of that widow. You see, he observes the circumstances which accompany our actions. Whether we give haphazardly, with a ready mind, or with reluctance. Now, going back to the church we were in the last part of January in Humble, Texas, after the Sunday night service, I was out in the vestibule, and a young man came out carrying a beautiful red guitar. And I had noticed that during the service, he was playing there with the music and everything. But he came up to me and he said, Brother Lehman, he said, God spoke to me and told me that I was to give you this guitar to the missionary or someone overseas. Now, he was very serious about it because in a few minutes he brought me back the case. A beautiful case. And I didn't really realize who it was until after church we went out to eat with the pastor. And come to find out, it was the pastor's son who brought his beautiful guitar to give to the mission work. And I was telling his mom and dad what their son had done. And his mother looked at me and she said, Brother Lehman, she said, now he may not wash his car for a month, but she said, he really takes care of that guitar. They were shocked. They were shocked that he had given his guitar for overseas. Well, they had only been married about 6 months. And his wife had looked for the last 6 months for a job. No success. Well, after the young man gave me the guitar to take to the mission field, 2 days later, his wife got a job. Had looked for 6 months, no success. But you see, whatever we do for God, God honors it. That young lady, she had looked and looked and looked for a job. You know, a newly married couple, they needed a few more finances. You know, just like a lot of other newly married. But this couple, they were so concerned that they do what God wanted them to do. You see, he shows by this that all men are properly in a state of equality. For though there is and ought to be a difference in outward things, yet God looks upon the heart, and the poorest person has it in his power to make his might as acceptable to the Lord by his simplicity of intention, his purity of affection, and the millions given by the affluent. Now, you may have a lot of money here, and you may give good. That's fine. But maybe not everybody is quite as wealthy as you are. Maybe their income is much less. But yet, God Almighty watches each of us in our giving. If you give a lot, that's fine. But if you give a little, and maybe that's all you can give, that's still fine. God honors each of us in our giving. Now, you know, it's just like God to rate the value of an action by the spirit in which it is given. God honors the spirit in which we give. You see, that widow lady, she gave because she gave her all. And they only gave a part. Now, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 8, the Bible talks about Zacchaeus. He said to Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now." Look now here and now. Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him four times that amount. Now, Jesus answered and said, today, salvation has come to this house. Now, you see, there had been such a radical change to the money that that man had that his heart, Jesus recognized that his heart had been transformed. He watches that. He watches, how do we give? Do we give willingly? Do we give haphazardly? Do we give reluctantly? You know, I mentioned this morning where the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. Not one that, you know, you got to twist their arm behind them to get a nickel. Not at all. But the Lord looks at each of us in our giving. And so, you know, in stark contrast, Jesus spoke of a rich man who spent all of his wealth on himself. He planned to tear down, his barns and have enough for himself. But instead, he wanted to see things stored up for himself, and he intended to retire and take life easy. But God called the man a fool, saying, "This night, this very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Now, the greatest indictment against him and the proof of his spiritual condition is that he was rich toward himself, but not rich toward God. Now, when the rich man in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, pressed Jesus about how to gain eternal life, Jesus told him this. He said, "Sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." But notice, the man was obsessed with earthly treasures. The man was obsessed with earthly treasures. Now, Jesus knew that money and possessions was that man's God. Jesus knew that that man's possessions, was his God. He realized that the man wouldn't serve God unless he dethroned his money idol. But the seeker considered the price too great. Sadly, he walked away from real treasures. Now, the big question is this. One more slide. The big question, when we pray, asking the Lord about our faith promise commitment, what usually goes through our mind? And the answer is this. If I give it monthly, I won't have it for myself. Now, if we would be honest, I'm afraid many, many of us would ask that kind of question. Lord, there's no way I can do this. Lord, not at all. Lord, I got to have a little for myself. But there's something about obeying as God leads. God Almighty will make sure you're taken care of. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." You see, as we put God's first, God's love and His mercy. Now, I want you to notice 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Notice this scripture. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with their many sorrows. But I want you to also notice another version. The New Living Translation says this. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now notice this. In this scripture, it isn't money that's the problem. It's the love of money that's the problem. Now, I want to read a testimony that was sent to me again in another church in Louisiana in January. I was there on my way to the Because of the Times meeting in Alexandria, and then I received this email from one of the families in that church, and here's what she said. She said, "Let me start by saying that we are in no way considered wealthy. My husband worked all last year and brought home less than $17,000. All last year." She said, "I say that only to bring this fact to life." She said, "It's not about having money to give. It's all about giving money that you don't have. I believe that when the lady gave her two mites, she didn't have money in savings, nor did she have extra to give. It was all that she had. That to me is the true concept of faith promise. Making a promise to give from your faith. She said, "My husband gets paid every 2 weeks. And since we live 30 minutes from the nearest supercenter," she said, I plan my shopping when he gets paid every 2 weeks. She said, "I make sure that we always give God's money first and then the bills." She said, "Unfortunately, at any rate, we were $70 short on our grocery money, not including money that we needed for gas for our car." So she said, "I sat down with my grocery list and began to cross things off that I didn't need at that particular time, such as toothpaste that wasn't completely empty yet." So she was getting down to the nitty-gritty. She was crossing things off of that list. And so she found out that she was $70 short on what they needed. And so she just kept crossing things off. And so then when her husband got paid, they went to the store, and she had a list made out for $200, but all she had was $130. And so she was short $70. They got to the store, and then she related that her husband was there and their son. They went in the store, and she was still praying, "Oh God, you see our grocery. You see what we need, Lord." And she said, my husband and son, when I went in the store, they went one direction and I went another. They went toward the toys and I went to look for groceries and praying and asking the Lord to meet the need. And so she said, I was looking around, and she said, it wasn't long until I got a cell phone call from her husband. He said, "You won't believe what just happened to us." He said, he and his son, they were in the toy department walking up and down the aisles, and they saw a lady in an electric cart that was trying to reach up for something on the shelf. And he said, "I looked and saw she couldn't reach it, and so I went down and asked her, 'Ma'am, is there some way I can help you?' She said, 'Yes, I want that little toy up there.' He said, I reached up, I got it, handed it down to her." And he said, then she held out her hand like she was going to shake my hand. And he said, I shook her hand and she slipped something in my hand, and then she was gone. He said, I looked, I thought it was a $10 bill. He said, I was walking down, took my billfold out to put the $10 in. I opened it up. He said, it was a $100 bill. He said, I thought, oh, she must have made a mistake. And so he and his son, they started looking throughout that store for the lady with the electric cart. He said, we looked for 20 minutes. We could not find that angel anyplace. He said, we couldn't find it anyplace. So his wife, when he got over and handed her the money, she related, she said, that was the $70 I needed. Plus, she said, we also needed gas money for the rest of the month. She was so excited how God had met the need. And then she went on to say, she said, you know, the miracle wasn't over yet. She said, it was getting close to Christmas time. And she said, we just didn't have any money for the kids. And we talked to them about it, expecting them to be very disappointed. But she said, they seemed to understand and they accepted it well. She said, but, she said, my husband called and said, I got a bonus, a Christmas bonus that they were not expecting. She simply brought out the fact. She said, you know, if you find this hard to believe, if you find it hard to believe my story, she said, why don't you step out? You step out by faith and let God do the miraculous for you. He will do it every time. God Almighty will do it every time if we will just simply give him a chance. Now, I was in a church in Columbus, Ohio, and I was walking down after the Sunday night service. I was walking down the side aisle, and a young man stepped out and stopped me. He said, Brother Lehman, I want to give you my testimony. He said, my wife and I are newly married, but he said, we stepped out by faith and made a $50 a month commitment. He said, now my job was shaky. He said, I didn't know how much longer I was going to even have a job. But he said, we made our commitment. And then he said, I got laid off. But he said, I got a new job paying me $500 a month more than my old job, which was 10 times his $50 a month faith promise. Now, that testimony was given to me a few years ago. I saw that man just a few months ago, and he related to me. He said, Brother Lehman, he said, ever since I did that, he said, God has blessed me in amazing ways. You see, when we are willing to give, you see that lady in that Walmart, that's where she was shopping. That lady that was shopping in Walmart, you see, she related. In fact, I didn't read it all in the testimony, but she related how that they had increased their faith promise a little more and a little more and a little more. Why? She wanted to give because she knew that God had blessed them in wonderful ways. And she just wanted to give back to the one that had blessed her in so many ways. How about yourself? What about your own life? How do you feel? I was in a church, in fact, the very same church that last testimony was from, where the man, newly married couple made a $50 commitment. I was there 1 year ago this month in their Faith Promise Sunday. That Sunday, their commitment was in excess of $10,000 a month. Within the following month, that pastor got a telephone call from the bank who told him, he said, Reverend, he said, I just wanted to call and tell you that your interest rate has been reduced and your church payment is being reduced $10,000 a month. Hey, that church, it is not a wealthy church. I've been there several times. I've known the pastor many years. It is not a wealthy church. But every year, regardless of the financial circumstances they go through, he always makes sure that they are giving to missions. Always makes sure. In fact, just this past year, I believe they were in the top 20 churches in the nation in their giving. You know, now the reason things like that happen, it's because they obeyed what Jesus had to say about our treasures. Now I want to read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19, 20, and 21. It reads like this: Say not, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now consider what Jesus is saying. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why not? Why not? Well, because earthly treasures are bad? No, no, no. Because they won't last. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5 says this, cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. But they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. What a picture. What a picture. Now, all you have to do is, you know, the next time you buy a prized possession, imagine it sprouting wings and flying away. Sooner or later, it's going to do that. But when Jesus warns us not to store up treasures on earth, it's not that wealth won't last, or it's not that wealth might be lost. It's because wealth will always be lost. Notice this. Either it leaves us while we live. One more. Ooh, I guess we're missing one there. All right. Either it leaves us while we live, or we will leave it when we die. There are no exceptions. I'm going to repeat that. I don't think the biggest majority of you really got what I said. But I want to repeat that. You know, either it leaves us while we live. Now that is wealth. I don't care how wealthy you are. When you die, you're going to leave it. It's not going with you. It's not going with you. You see, 1 Timothy 6 and 7 says this, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You can carry nothing out. Now, probably many of you have heard of John D. Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest men that ever lived. And when he died, someone that kind of was acquainted with him, they asked this question of his accountant. Said, how much did he leave? The accountant looked at him and said, he left it all. He didn't take any of it with him. He left it all. Now, when Sam Houston, the colorful soldier and politician, came to Jesus Christ, after his baptism, Houston said that he wanted to pay half the minister's salary. And he was asked, well, why do you want to do that? He said, well, when I got baptized, my pocketbook got baptized with me. When I got baptized, my pocketbook got baptized with me. You see, like Sam Houston, we must understand life is inseparable from our giving. It's inseparable from our giving. You see, when you give your faith promise month after month, you are sending your treasures on ahead. Financial planners will tell you that when it comes to your money, don't just think 3 months or 3 years ahead. They say figure 30 years ahead. But Jesus Christ, the ultimate investment counselor, takes it further. He says, don't ask how much your investment will pay off in just 30 years. Ask how much will it pay off in eternity. You see, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You see, let the Lord impress you as to what he wants to channel through you. Even in this service tonight, you say, but Brother Lehman, you don't realize how financially strapped we are. I don't have to know how financially strapped you are. He knows. But whenever the Lord impresses us as to what he wants us to do, our biggest problem is fear. Fear grips us. We say, I can't do that. Hey, God, you must be talking to the wrong person. No, he's not talking to the wrong person. He doesn't make mistakes like that. He knows who he's talking to. And so, but keep in mind, that where the Lord guides, He provides. Your giving helps send the missionary with the saving message of salvation. Now, I want to go to the next slide. That young man right there, his name is Zeke. Zeke is a member of the Madisonville, Kentucky church. Now, I have a testimony right here that came from his mother. It is a full page with this bit of information. And she related this. She said that a number of years ago, when Zeke was 4 years old, one of his friends that was there in that church went to the mission field. And Zeke really missed his friend. And he tried to figure out, now how can I bless my friend that has gone to the mission field? And so he came up with this idea. He said, I will raise money every year to help send to the to the missionary family that's overseas. Now, at the age of 4 years old, he gave $30 that year. When he was 5, he gave 50. When he was age 6, he gave 74. When he was age 7, he gave 200. Age 8, he gave 260. Age 9, 300. Age 10, 460. I mean, it just kept going up and up and up and up. This young man was begging to give. I hope that impresses you. This young man at the age of 4 started out. Now, right now, he is 13 years old and still giving. Still giving every year. In fact, on a Sunday morning at their missions conference, they will put a wagon down. They'll have all the Sunday school classes come in with their missionary offering for that year, and they will put it in the wagon that is there. And Zeke, when he comes in, he's got either a big jar or something, and he'll just lean it up and pour it in that wagon. That year, that particular year, many times in that church, the Sunday school classes will put in right at $1,000 in the wagon. They have been begging to give. Now tonight, are you begging to give? Is there something inside of you that says, Lord, God, I want to give. I want to give, Lord, but please, please, Lord, be merciful to me. Don't overextend my budget, Lord. Don't cause me, oh God, to put down too big of an amount. I recall being in Duluth, Minnesota. And there was a couple in that church. They were seated in the service. He was in one location and she was in the other. They apparently had not talked prior to the service as to how much they wanted to give. He thought he was making the commitment for the family. She thought she was making the commitment for the family. Well, they didn't know what had happened until they got home. And then they started talking back and forth. And they said she realized that he had made it. And she realized she had made it. And they quizzed each other. How much did you make yours for? She said 50. He said, how much? Or she said, how much did you make yours for? He said 50. They said, that's 100. And then she remembered the scripture. She said, Brother Lehman mentioned about that scripture, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. She said, let's just try it and see what happens. They started giving. Now, he had a delivery service that he delivered for several businesses there in Duluth. And what he saw this, he had several businesses that he delivered for. And what he did was they decided their smallest business, that was going to be their faith promise business. And so he started seeing that small business start growing until it was the largest delivery business he had. She worked for a nursing home, and she just worked as a nurse's aide and helper. But right after that service, the lady that was her boss in the nursing home came to her and said, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to retire. I'm going to put your name in as my replacement. She said, but wait a minute. I'm not qualified. And the lady said, I know, but I'm going to turn your name in. And she turned her name in and she got the job. I mean, God blessed them beyond their expectation. but they wanted to give and were willing to give, and God blessed them. Now, what about your situation? What about your situation tonight? Are you letting God talk to you? Are you letting the Lord speak to you about what He wants to channel through you tonight? I realize this is a good giving church, but maybe not everyone here is a giver. Maybe there are some who have said, I don't think I'm quite ready to start giving. Well, wait a minute. Why don't you give God a chance? Why don't you give God a chance tonight? You know, why not just say, God, I want to give. I want to give, Lord. I want to be faithful in my giving. I want to give month after month. God, you bless me so much. And, you know, we could just probably open it up for testimonies. One after another would say how God has blessed you just this past year in many ways. But give God a chance. That Corinthian church, they needed a lesson on giving. And Paul told them, hey, you need to look at the Macedonian churches. You need to see what they are doing. Even though they are poor, they give like they're rich. Even though they've not been blessed in many ways, yet they have been blessed in many wonderful ways. And tonight you may sit here and say, Brother Lehman, I think you're talking to the wrong person. No, I'm not talking to the wrong person. I believe God is speaking across this auditorium. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. Makes no difference. You say, I don't even have a job. You don't need a job. You got a God. He's willing to take care of your needs. He's willing to. I've been in many services where people were sitting there without a job, and God impressed them to make their commitment. They made their commitment, and God blessed them right away with a job. You say, I've been looking for months. Well, so was that couple in Humboldt, Texas. Just got married. Had been married 6 months, still looking. Until the husband gave his beautiful guitar to the mission field. And 2 days later, she got a job. He's still on the throne in Madison, Wisconsin. He's still here. I'm turning the service to one of the pastors to just give you an opportunity to give. Take that card out. It's perforated. You keep one side and give the other. Just turn it in and then see what God will do. And then when He blesses, I hope you'll tell someone here so they can tell me, so I can tell someone else how God has blessed Madison, Wisconsin with the wonderful gift of giving. The wonderful gift of giving. Are you willing? Are you willing to try? God bless you.
If you filled out a card this morning and this has been a challenge for you, and maybe you think, well, I didn't quite stretch my faith enough, feel free to go ahead and get a card for the ushers tonight and fill it out again and just add it to your total that you turned in this morning, and we'll go ahead and get that added in. What I'd like to do before we start, I'm going to take, and as you fill out your pledge, I just want to take and pray here. And then give you some time to fill out your pledge. And I want to start reading over the pledges that were turned in this morning. Sister Jessica is going to be working back there, and we're going to put them up here on the big screen so we can take. I will not be reading your names, just the monthly amount that or weekly amount that you've committed to. And she'll be putting that on the big screen up there. We can keep track of that. And let's just bow our heads tonight, and let's just pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I know in your word, God, that there are principles relating to giving. Brother Lehman has laid that out so very clear to us tonight. God, there's the personal principle, Lord, that if we give as a person, God, that you're going to take and you're going to bless us as an individual. God, also our families, God, I believe, Lord, is if we give as a family, that God, you're going to take and bless our families. And I also believe, God, that as if we give and we give as a church, that you're going to take and you're going to bless this church. God, there's so many needs that we have, and there's so many things that we could look at and say, we need money for this and this and this. But Lord God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me and to you. I ask you, Lord Jesus, God, I want to thank you right now, God, for the past blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, we have been a blessed church. I thank you, Lord, for the past blessings. But I pray, Lord, right now, God, that you would increase our faith, that you would open up our eyes, Lord, to what your will is and what you can do, given the opportunity to work through us. God, and I also thank you, Lord, for the blessings of tomorrow, because, Lord, your word says that if we give, Lord, and we give out of our hearts, Lord, that there will be a blessing, that it will be in store for us, Lord, and for us as an individual, as a family, and as a church. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for these principles. And, Lord, we live by these principles. And I thank you, Lord, so much for what you have done. In your name, amen. Amen. I'm so thankful in my own life for all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon me over the years. And I know I've been taught well by my father, and it's something that he taught us from a young age, that you just can't outgive God. It's just that simple. If you're having financial trouble, start giving. Test him. I challenge you, test him. If he doesn't come through, I've never known him not to. Never known him not to. I'm going to read these off, and if you have a card that you have not yet filled out, go ahead and fill that out and just bring that down here to the front. And if we could have the ushers have those, okay, if they could bring those up. And if you have to fill a card out, just get those to an usher. They will get those down here, so I don't have to. If we could have just an usher stay down here and collect those, otherwise I'll be having to leave and pick those up all the time. So we're going to go ahead and start. If Sister Jessica's ready, we have $100 a month.